Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke 16 on Through the Word today, with essential lessons on the dangers and the proper use of money. The Bible has a lot to say about money. One-sixth of the content of Matthew, Mark, and Luke deals with money. Why? Because we have to deal with money all the time. It's an inescapable part of life. So, of course, God gives us some guidelines. Amongst those guidelines, you'll find both warnings and promises. As we'll see in chapter 16, many of the warnings are against the dangerous teachings of those who think that being religious or godly is a good way to get more money. You can still hear that stuff taught today on TV and in church. But watch out. The Bible warns against that teaching in 1 Timothy 6, Revelation 3, and right here in Luke 16. Dangerous stuff indeed. So what's the right way to handle money? Let's see what Jesus has to say. He opens with a parable about a man whose job was all about money, a money manager. Now, a money manager is someone who manages money for someone else, someone rich. The manager can make decisions and spend the money, but he has a responsibility to do so wisely. He definitely shouldn't waste it, because in the end, it's not his money. The story begins at verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give an account for your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.'" So this manager was not a good one, and he finds out he's getting fired. But not just yet. He has just enough time to come up with a plan that will save his hide after he's fired. So here's the plan. He's still in charge of the rich man's financial affairs for just a little longer, and he knows there are a number of people who owe the boss money. So he goes to them one at a time and forgives debt. Everyone likes a forgiving man, so all the debtors love this guy. But how will the boss respond? Check out verse 8. "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly." Wow, although the rich man has been cheated here, he still commends the manager. Basically, he's saying, "I know that was dishonest, but I got to hand it to you, that was shrewd." Now, shrewd is the key word in this parable. It means astute or sharp in practical matters. So the man was a liar, but what he did was pretty bright. Jesus never excuses the lying here, but he wants us to learn a lesson. Look again at verse 8. "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Jesus finishes the parable by telling us we need to be shrewd in how we handle money, never dishonest, but be wise with practical matters, especially eternal matters. So what does the parable mean? The key lies in the connection between verse 4 and verse 9. In verse 4, the manager is going to lose his job, so he makes friends who will welcome him into their houses when the job is over. In verse 9, Jesus uses almost the same phrase, only the houses are eternal. Use worldly wealth to gain friends who will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Now here's what I think the parable means. The money manager represents you. You have some amount of money under your control. The rich man represents the world. The world has lots of cash. You handle it for a while, but the world owns it. At some point, you realize the truth. You're going to die. The world is firing you, and all the money you've got stays with the world. You have a little time left, so act fast and act shrewdly. Whatever money is in your power, use it to give. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. More importantly, find every opportunity to forgive. People like a giver, but they love a forgiver. So that's it. Use worldly wealth for heavenly purposes. Use temporary riches for eternal rewards. Unfortunately, there are far too many teachers who get this backwards. They were around in Jesus' day, too. Back then, they were called Pharisees. Today, they disguise themselves as Christian preachers. Instead of using worldly wealth for godly purposes, the Pharisees used godly living to get worldly wealth. But that's not really godly living at all. They thought money was the point, but they missed the point entirely. Money isn't the point, it's a tool and a test. In verse 10, Jesus explains the test. He says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Notice that Jesus makes a distinction between worldly wealth and true riches. This is where the false teachers miss it. They think worldly wealth is true riches. Not at all. Worldly wealth is a test. If you can be trusted with money, if you can handle it faithfully, God can trust you with true riches, leading God's precious people, teaching His word. Serving God is not about skill or success. It's all about faithfulness. God wants servants who are faithful. So He tests you, gives you something little to see how you handle it. Notice that money is called a little thing. If you're faithful with money, God will trust you with more. Then in verse 13, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. It's not just about how you use money. The real danger is serving money. In verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, money is not the problem. Loving money, living for money, serving money is the real problem, because you cannot live for money and live for God. The Pharisees acted like they served God, but they really just used God to serve money. We are called to use money to serve God. Money makes a good servant, but a cruel master. God, on the other hand, makes a great master, because He is a master that does everything to serve us. Now the chapter ends with a story about two men, one rich and the other poor. The poor man's name is Lazarus, though not the same Lazarus who was raised from the dead. And as far as I can tell, the story is a true one rather than a parable. That's rather sobering when you read it, because it's a story about hell. See, Jesus wants to show riches and poverty in the full picture. If you don't see the reality of heaven and of hell, the world doesn't make any sense. It's all about money and then you die, and only a few greedy hoarders get to enjoy it. What's with that? But look at eternity and it all becomes clear. I'll let you read the story for yourself, but I should explain one detail. When the two men died, they went to two different places, but neither to heaven. Before Jesus died and rose, no human could go to heaven yet. Hell is the place where everyone goes to get exactly what they deserve for their life. Absolute fairness, no more, no less. Heaven is the place for the forgiven, for those who trust in Christ, who paid the price of hell on the cross. Yet before the price was paid, God created a temporary place for those who trusted God and served Him faithfully. It was called Abraham's bosom, or Abraham's side. That's where Lazarus went. The rest I'll leave to you. I do encourage you to read Luke 16 today. Put the wealth of this world into the eternal perspective, and choose this day whom you will serve, God or money. As for me and my house, we serve God.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.